Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Dan Roth.
Amen. Today, get your Bibles out and go with me to Matthew, the 25th chapter. We're going to be in verse number 14 down through verse number 30. This is so good, part number four. You know, when a while back, there were some relatives of ours had a mountain home, and they said, if you guys ever want to go up and use it, man, you're welcome to. So we took advantage of that, and when we went up, they told us, hey, there's a list of things that we need you guys to do when you get there, some things that you guys need to do when you leave, especially in the wintertime. So they said, as long as you do these things, everything will be cool. And so we would go there, you know, we had the list of things, you know, open up the curtains and turn on the heat and all that kind of good stuff and shovel out the driveway and make sure that there wasn't any snow there. Different things that we had to do. Open the flue before you use the fireplace, all that good stuff, right? When we leave, we'd have to shut the flue and, you know, make sure to close out things, shut all the blinds, and turn the thermostat down to a certain temperature so that it wouldn't get too cold in there, and as well so that, you know, it would continue things running. One of the things that we had to do is we had to take antifreeze, and we had to pour it into this little tube out in the front yard that went down where the rest of the water was, and we would have to, you know, turn off the water, but we would open up some of the valves so that the next time someone came through, that even though it may have frozen all around outside, that the water would still flow. And so there were times that we would leave and we'd do that and go through the process, go through the checklist, we put that antifreeze in, and then we were the next ones coming back. And so sure enough, when we would go to turn on the water again and we'd spin that little thing, all of a sudden the water would start to flow. See, I believe that in the area of our finances, there are things that God has given to us. A list, if you will, but not just a list. There's certain things that God says that if you do these things, it will keep the flow of finances going in your life. It will keep things moving. It will keep things going the way that I've designed them to. But if we don't do those things, life and circumstances and surroundings will freeze up the flow of what God wants to do in our lives. Today, we're approaching the subject of so good. So far, we've learned in this series that God owns everything. Is that right? He owns you. He owns me. He owns the breath that we breathe. He owns the trees and the stars and the sun and moon and sky. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. He is the owner of a cattle on 1,000 hills. I don't even know if there's 1,000 hills and how many cattle are on those hills, but if there was 1,000 on them, they would be God. And God owns everything. And therefore, because God owns everything, he gives us our lives. He gives us our stewardship. We are stewards. And remember we said this a couple of weeks ago, that the very first principle in order to sow good is that God must be first. Is that right? And we show God that he's first primarily and principally through the tithe. That when we set aside the first fruits of our increase, whatever God brings to us, that tithe shows God, and it reminds us that God is first. That he's primary, he's number one in our life. Now, it took us 3 weeks to get one principle out of the Word of God. Is that right? That's why I would encourage you, if you have not heard the first three messages in this series, go online, get a hold of those messages, and make sure to listen to them carefully, because God wants to build the same foundation in your life as well. But today, I want to bring to you the second principle in order to sow good. Number one, God must be first. And number two is this, is that I must be a faithful steward. God owns everything. God is first. I am a steward. I must be a faithful steward. It's just that simple. In Matthew, the 25th chapter, we see a parable. Parable of the talents. Now, the talent is not like a talent like we would think of in our day and age where we say, hey, you know, I can paint or I can juggle or I can do yo-yo tricks, I can tap dance, that sort of thing. That's my talent, right? A talent was a weight of measure. It represented a certain sum of money. Some people estimated that it would take 20 years to raise a talent of money. So it was a large sum of money, if you will. Other scholars have estimated different amounts. It doesn't matter which one you follow after. It was a large sum of money. Okay? With that in mind, Matthew chapter 25, verse number 14 comes along and it says this, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them." Now stop right there for a second. I love the parables of Jesus, don't you? These are stories that Jesus gives us. These are spiritual realities, and yet he's telling us these spiritual truths in a natural way. He's using stories. Oftentimes, Jesus talked about trees. He talked about olive presses. He talked about different scenarios of life, wedding feasts, banquets. He talked about masters and servants and slaves. He talked about all these different things, and he gave us these scenarios, and he put these spiritual truths alongside natural realities that the people could relate to. So here we see that there was a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. Now, all of us are in this parable. Did you see yourself in there yet? Because you're right there. See, the man traveling to a far country, that's Jesus. In fact, there's another parable that mirrors this parable. It's called the parable of the pounds or the parable of the minas. And in the same way, it says that there was a man who's going to receive a kingdom, and so he had to go a far way off, and that he was going to return. And so he delivered his goods to his servants, and he told them to do business or occupy the land until he came. See, the man here is Jesus Christ. Jesus has gone to the cross now. Now the kingdom is his, and he ascends on high to heaven. That is the far country that he went to. But before he left, he called his own servants to himself, and he delivered his goods to them. Bible says that when Jesus ascended on high, that he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. And therefore, God has given you and he has given me everything that we have, all the resources. He's given us gifts. He's given us spiritual gifts. He's given us his spirit. And therefore, it says he's delivered his goods to them. Notice they're his goods. He didn't deliver them their goods. Everything is his, right? He's God. God owns everything. And so therefore, God calls his servants or his slaves that he owns to himself, and he delivers his goods to them. Verse number 15, and to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2. And to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Now, in our day and age, we would probably take a look at that verse and say, that's not fair. They're all his servants. They're all his slaves. Why would he give 1 5, 1 2, and 1 1? That's not fair. Everyone should have the same. Well, if you don't like this parable, you're welcome to look at the parable of the minas, because he delivers 10 servants, 10 minas. They all get the same amount. But the end of the parable ends exactly the same way. Now, this parable, I chose this parable for a reason, because it gives to us the wisdom and the understanding of what God is doing in our lives. Sometimes we say, well, why didn't I get the opportunity that guy got? You know, he just must have been born in the right home. He must have been in the right family. They were born on the right side of the tracks. He got the right opportunities. He got the right education. I mean, that guy got everything, and I didn't get anything, and therefore God is not fair, but God is completely and totally just. See, what we think is fair, when we try and place that on God, God says, no, you don't measure me by a man's measurement. You got to cross over to what I say about life and what I say about the things that I've given to you. See, I have 3 children. I have one that's 14 years old, I have one that's 11 years old, and I have one that's 9 years old. If I was packing up my house and I was moving my house, I could say to the 14-year-old, hey, I want you to go over to the china cabinet. I want you to carefully take all of the plates and cups and all the different silver out of there, and I want you to carefully wrap all that stuff up, get the bubble wrap, wrap it up real nice and tight, tape it all shut, and then I want you to put it into a box. When the box is kind of full, not totally full, I want you to close up the box, tape it up, and then I want you to write with a Sharpie on it, and I want you to write fragile on the top of it, and then place it in the truck where all the fragile stuff is. I could trust that my 14-year-old would be able to handle that. But if I asked my 9-year-old, hey, would you go over to the china cabinet? Would you carefully take the china out of the cabinet? Would you wrap it up in the bubble wrap, tape it shut, put it in a box, and fill up the box until it's almost full, then close up the box, and I want you to tape the box shut and then write on it with a Sharpie, fragile. And if I left and came back, I would find my 9-year-old probably sitting on the floor with a box over his head and the Sharpie drawing pictures on the inside of the box. Why? He can't handle all those instructions. His attention span is not the attention span of my 14-year-old. He's a different child. How about this? I could probably take my 11-year-old and hand him a certain box, a certain weight, and say, hey, carry this out to the truck. But my 9-year-old, I would probably say, hey, hold this bag of stuff while I carry this box that's heavy and come with me out to the truck. Why? Because the 9-year-old does not have the strength of the 11-year-old. See, the verse gives us the reason why God gave 1 5, 1 2, and 1 1. Look at it again. Verse 15, and to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his own ability. Remember, the talent was a measure of weight. God will not give you more than you can carry. If you wonder why some people got a lot and some people got a little, could it be that God looks at their life and says, if I gave them the weight of responsibility of these finances, of that ministry that they want, of that relationship that they want, it would crush them because they can't carry that much weight yet? See, God is not being unfair. He's being just. He's saying, you can only carry 50 pounds, then I'm going to give you 50 pounds. Oh, you can carry 100 pounds, then I'll give you 100 pounds. Why differing? Each according to his own ability. Some of you guys maybe have wondered, God, why haven't you given me more? God, why haven't you poured out the blessings on me that I've desired, that I've prayed for, that I've wanted? Could it be that God looks at your life and he's exhibiting and showing you his mercy by not giving you what you're asking for yet because you can't handle it yet? God will not crush you under the weight of finances. That's why last week when we talked about the lottery winners, that's why you haven't won the lottery yet, even though you played Powerball every week. Matthew chapter 25, verse number 16 goes on and says this, verse number 16. It says, then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them, made another 5 talents. Likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. Verse 18, but he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. Now, this 5-talent guy, he's a crackerjack guy, isn't he? He just starts out and goes and makes 5 more. It almost seems effortless when you read the verse, doesn't it? Now, I don't know if the master gave him instructions or anything like that, but obviously there was an expectation that was there. If you read in the parable of the minas, he tells them to do business or to occupy until he comes. I would imagine that there was an expectation. You're my servant, I'm giving you my goods, and I want you to take care of it. And this guy goes out and doubles the money of the master. And then the Bible says in the next verse, likewise, or in the same manner. See, this 2-talent guy, he may not have been as crackerjack as the 5-talent guy, but he might have just looked over the fence and said, what's he doing? Oh, look at that. He's buying, selling, trade. I could do that. And so he goes out and does the same thing and makes 2 more. Or maybe he was just industrious. Maybe he just said, oh, hey, I know what to do. And he went out and he got 2 more. But the 1-talent guy, it says, went and he buried the talent in the ground and hid his Lord's money. Verse number 19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. Now, there is going to come a day that we are going to have to give an account of our stewardship to God. God is going to come and he's going to settle accounts. The Bible calls that the day of judgment. And the Bible says that judgment starts with the house of God. It starts with us, guys. God's going to come and he's going to say, hey, I want you to give an account of your stewardship. What did you do while in the body? Were you evil or were you good? What did you do with what I gave you? And we're going to go before the Lord. And the Bible says that our works, our acts are going to go before the Lord like a pile of goods. The fire of God will hit our works. And some of our works will come out like gold, silver, and precious gems. But there will be other works that come out like wood, hay, and straw. When fire hits wood, hay, and straw, it burns up. There are going to be people who suffer loss and who make it out and yet come out smelling like fire. And so for all of us, we have to watch what we do in the body. Why? Because we will give an account of the things that have been given to us. Can I say it to you like this? Ability given is a responsibility. Now, I'm going to lay out some things on the overheads. I'm going to use some rhyming words because it's memorable, it's fun, that sort of thing. But sometimes that can be confusing too, I understand. So I want you guys to really go with me in this place. I want you to think hard, okay, because ability given is a responsibility. I have in my pocket a couple different bills here, okay? I've got money falling all over the place. All right, here we go. I've got a $1 bill here. I've got a $5 bill here. And I have a $20 bill here. Each one of these carries a different weight. Is that right? For the $1 bill, if I go into a store and I try and buy something with $1, I might be able to get a can of soda. I might be able to get a stick of gum, right? I might be able to do so much with this. But when I go into that same store with this $5, there's a different ability. Is that right? Now, all of a sudden, I might be able to buy a sandwich. I might be able to buy a box of cereal and a carton of milk if I get the cheap stuff, right? That organic stuff, man, you ain't getting nothing. But if I go into the same store with $20, now I have a different ability. So when I go into the store, and let's say, you know, I sent my kids to the store and I gave them a $1 bill. I want you to go to the store and I want you to buy a stick of gum. I want you to come back and bring me the gum, right? That's a certain amount of responsibility. If I give them the $5 and I say, I want you to go to the store and I want you to buy something for lunch, they have a different weight of responsibility, right? But if I give them a $20 and I give them a grocery list, that's a whole different amount. Is that right? It's a different weight of responsibility. Ability given is a responsibility. What we are responsible for, we will be held accountable for. Now, this could be freeing to some of you guys who have been grumbling about how little you have, but what you're responsible for, the little, you'll be accountable for. The little, right? So God's saying, I'm not putting unrealistic expectations on you. If I've given you the one, that's what you're accountable for, is the one. But if I've given you the 20, you're accountable for the 20. Hello? And so We need to understand that what we are responsible for, we will be held accountable for. And how, listen, this is where I wanted to go. How, are you ready? I'm going to drop it on you. How responsible we are for the ability we have been given is the measure of our faithfulness. How responsible we are for the ability we've been given, that is the measure of our faithfulness. See, the master is coming and he's going to settle accounts with all of us. He's going to look at our life and he's going to take a look at what we've done while in the body, whether good or whether evil, with everything that he delivered to us. Remember, every breath that you have has been given to you by God. That job that you have has been given to you by God. Those children that you're raising have been given to you by God. That marriage that you're enjoying has been given to you by God. And how you treat your spouse, how you treat your children, how you treat your neighbors, how responsible you are on the job, all of that is an ability that you've been given that God's going to come and measure how faithful were you with the responsibility you carried. God doesn't want us to bury our talents. God doesn't want us to just hide those things in the ground. Lord Bacon said something kind of funny. I want you to listen to what he said. He said, money is like manure. Good for nothing in the heap. It must be spread. Some of you guys have not yet stepped out in faith and sown anything. Some of you guys have been sitting on your talents. Some of you guys have not used every area of your life yet for kingdom advancement and for kingdom building. And God is saying it's time for you to step out. See, that talent, that money, that ability that you've been giving, that you haven't been using, it's like manure. It's no good sitting in the pile. It's just a pile of poop. It's all it is. But when you start to spread that around, when you start to use it for what it was designed for and created for, beautiful things can grow out of the midst of that thing that you thought was natural, that you thought was good for nothing, and yet God is saying, redeem it, spread it around, use it. The ability you've been given, that if you start to use it, that will be the measure of the faithfulness that you have. Matthew 25, verse 20, let's keep moving on in the scripture. Matthew chapter 25, verse number 20 goes on to say this. So he who had received the 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them. Verse 21, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. That's an amazing statement, isn't it? That's what we all want to hear. See, our stewardship has eternal impact and eternal results. You need to understand that what you're doing today is not just for today. It's not just for tomorrow. It's not just for next week or next year. That what you do today goes on before you into eternity. And if you properly steward and faithfully steward the things that God has given you, there will be a day that you go before the judgment seat. And when you present your life to the Lord and you say, Lord, look, what you gave me, I'm giving you back more. And God will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Now remember, this is the 5-talent guy. He got a great commendation, didn't he? Well, what about the 2-talent guy? Let's take a look at him for a second. Let's take a look at him. It goes on the next verse, and it says this. Verse number 22, he also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents besides them. Verse 23, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Now, let me ask you something. Was I just reading verse 21 or verse 23? Verse 23, right? Do you realize that verse 21 to the 5-talent guy is the exact same thing he said to the 2-talent guy? See, we thought God wasn't fair, right? But God does not measure the reward based on amount. He measured amount based on ability. God measures the reward based on faithfulness. See, you might have been saying, God, why didn't you give me more? Why don't you trust me with the 5? You only gave me the 2. But God says, you be faithful with the 2, you'll get the same reward in heaven that you would as the 5. Now that's not to say that God is unjust in amounts either. Because again, in the parable of the minas, the guy who had 1 mina and made 10 was ruler over 10 cities. The guy who had 1 mina and made 4 was put over 4 cities. So there are differing measures, and each of us individually will receive our own commendation from God, and depending on what we do here in the flesh, God will reward us accordingly. There are crowns for faithfulness, crowns for shepherds. There are certain individual things that God will give some that others will not get, differing measures. But as far as what we're talking about today, when it comes to faithfulness, the reward is exactly the same. You've been faithful over a little. I'll put you over much. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Notice he didn't say the joy of heaven. He didn't say the joy of your labors. He didn't say the joy of anything else except the joy of the Lord. See, when you've got God, when you've got Jesus, God said to Abraham, I am your son, I am your shield, I am your exceeding great reward. He himself, whom have I in heaven besides you? There's none on earth I desire except for you, Lord. God, you are my reward. Sometimes we say, well, I don't got money, I don't got education, I don't got resource, I don't got skills, I don't got anybody. Listen, you plus God makes everything. You don't need anyone else. You don't need anything else. You don't need anybody else to come along and drop a check on you. You got God, you got it all. Next verse goes on, and take a look at it with me. It says this. Verse number 24, then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I need to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. Verse 26, but his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. See, in this man comes and he just gives back what was given to him. He buried it in the ground. He didn't do anything with it. And he gave back what was his. Was it his? Yes, it was, right? It was the master's goods he gave to the man, and he said, I want you to go and do business. I want you to occupy. I want you to do something. There was an expectation that came with this gift. And faithful stewardship is the pathway to kingdom advancement. Just like we saw the two guys before, they were commended. And because they had been put over something that was least, he said, phew. Now remember, if it took 20 years to raise one talent, that's a whole lot of money, isn't it? We work all our lives to get that kind of a nest egg. And yet God calls that phew. See, money's the least of things. It's not a big deal to God. God owns everything. He doesn't need money. Money's just a small matter in his eyes. But he says, you've been faithful over a few, I'll put you over much. Enter into the joy of the Lord. See, faithful stewardship is the pathway to kingdom advancement. If you want more, faithfulness is the way to get it. If you want greater, faithfulness is the way to get there. If you want to advance in the kingdom of God, then faithfulness is the way of advancement. But notice what this guy says to the master. He says, Lord, I need to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what's yours. Verse 26, but the Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. Notice that is the exact opposite of good and faithful servant, isn't it? Wicked is the exact opposite of good, and lazy is the exact opposite of faithful. See, sometimes we think that we're faithful just because we showed up to church, put in our time. Maybe you said a prayer every now and again, read your Bible on Tuesday morning or something like that. But what are you doing with what God has given you? Are you putting your hand to something? Are you doing something? Are you using the talents and the gifts, the things that God has given to you to build the kingdom of God? Are you reproducing? Are you making more? Are you increasing in the kingdom? Because if not, God is saying that that's not his way, that's opposed to his way, and that's wickedness. And that's also laziness. God wants you to build and to increase. Doesn't mean church attendance is bad or Bible reading or prayer, but if it's just a token, if you're just trying to earn brownie points and you're giving back to God what's his, you're not doing what God has called you to do. See, God expects increase, and he has a stewardship plan for our lives. God expects increase. Well, God's not fair. You know, yeah, he gave me everything, but I don't know how to do this. I'm not like you. I don't have all the resources. I don't have Bible college training. I don't got any of that kind of stuff. I'm just little old me living here in the IE. I've just got, you know, a hard past, and it doesn't seem like a great future. I'm just trying to hold on to what I got. Maybe at the end of this all, I'll crash land into heaven and get to stay there. But listen, God expects increase. The man told God, he said, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. Now the master comes back to him, and after he calls him wicked and lazy, notice what he says to him. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and that I gather where I have not scattered seed. Notice something that he does not include from the man's statements. He never says, you knew me to be a hard man. Is that right? Why? Because is God a hard man? No, he's not. He's a loving father, isn't he? He's a good father that gives good gifts to his children. Now, which one of you has a son, if he asks for a piece of bread, will give him a stone? Which one of you asks, if your son asks you for a fish, would the father give him a serpent? No. How much more will your loving father give to those who ask of him? God is not a hard man. He is not a man that he should lie. He's not a son of man that he should go back on his promises. God is a good father. His nature is good. God is love, and God is a loving, caring father who will bless you. Does he reap where he has not sown? Yes. Why? Because he's a supernatural God. He's the one who speaks and planets exist. He's the one who goes out and creates the miraculous and takes something out of nothing. Only God can do that. But notice the master gives this wicked and lazy servant a plan. He says, you should have at least deposited my money with the bankers. Now what if? What if the parable was a little different? What if the man with the one talent, he was there and he had the talent in his hand. He said, oh my goodness, I don't know what to do with this. What if he ran after the man before he went on his journey and said, hey, before you leave, I just got a question. What do I do with this? I've never had this much money before in my life. I'm uneducated. I'm unskilled. Could you tell me what you expect? What do you want me to do? He says, well, at least put my money in the bank. That way I'll get it back with interest. Perfect. Done. Right? Runs off, goes, puts the money in the bank. And then when the master comes back, he says, here, you have what's yours and you've got the interest. What would he say? I believe that the parable would read, well done. Good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few. I'll put you over much. Enter into the joy of your Lord. But what if there's another scenario? What if this guy with the one stepped out and believed God? What if he had faith in the goodness of his master? And what if he went out there and he started to buy and sell and trade, but he didn't have the experience of the five-talent guy or even the two-talent guy? And what if he made a mess of it all? What if he lost everything? And when the master called them to account, the guy with the five came with the five, and he got the high five, right? The guy with the two came with two. He got peace, right, and got let in. And then the guy with the one comes in, and he says, Master, I've got nothing. I didn't make any money for you, but I went out, I bought, I sold, I traded, but you know what? I came up empty. You know what I think would have happened? I think the master would have said, well done. Well done. Good and faithful servant. You've been faithful to do what I've called you to do. See, it's not about amounts, guys. Sometimes we think that if we're not balling, if we're not rolling in all the money and all the goodness and the clothes and the cars and all that kind of stuff, listen, that's not what God is after. God is after a faithful heart that will go and build kingdom regardless of results. See, Matthew Henry wrote, and he said, those that are called to business for Christ, he furnishes with gifts necessary for their business. And on the other hand, from those to whom he gives power, he expects service. God has an expectation. And whatever the excuse of a lazy person, you know, this guy had all kinds of excuses. I knew you to be a hard man, right? No. See, the true reason is indifference to the interests of Christ and his kingdom. Remember, we already said in this series that apathy is opposition. Laziness is actually active resistance to the advancement of the kingdom of God. And we need to understand that if you're sitting on your talent today, you're in the wrong position. You're in the position of being opposed to the kingdom. I'm not opposed to the kingdom. Yes, you are, because you're not doing anything with your talent. God has given you ability, and that ability is a responsibility, and you will be held accountable for it. And the measure of how faithful you've been, that's the measure of your accountability. See, people that are sitting on their talent are expressing something that they don't care about God's interests as long as they're comfortable. I know a lot of people in American churches that don't want to be bugged. Don't want to be bugged about their money. Don't want to be bugged about their marriage. Just leave me alone. Just preach a good sermon to me, Pastor, as long as you can keep my attention for 30 minutes, maybe. Pastor, as long as I can come in here and hoot and holler and clap and then go out of here and not be bugged about God for the rest of the week, as long as I live a comfortable life, and when the proverbial poop hits the proverbial fan, what do? They come running wanting God to come through on their behalf. And as long as God does something for them, as long as times are good, man, we're good with God. But when things go bad, what has God ever done for me? No, God gave you everything that you have. Your apathy is opposition, and God will not bless opposition. See, this man said, I was afraid, so I hid your talent in the ground. What happened to Adam when he sinned? He was afraid, and he hid. See, it's no different with you and me. The wrong idea of God will produce the wrong actions, activities, and eventually the wrong results. See, fear of God's expectations or the fear of the hard work of stewardship will keep us from being faithful and producing the increase that God desires. Sometimes it's, oh, well, I'm not eloquent, I can't talk, right? But God had a Moses that he sent into Egypt to go and deliver the people of Israel, even though he was a stutterer. God had people all throughout the Bible, adulterers, murderers, sons of prostitutes. Read your Bible, it's shocking sometimes. But God will also use the likes of me and the likes of you. God doesn't care about your background, how much you have or don't have. If you will just be faithful to follow God, God will raise you up, he will bless you, and he will bring increase. But fear of God's expectations or fear of hard work, a wrong view of God, will bring the wrong results. What resulted in this man's life? Let's take a look at it. Let's finish up the parable. Matthew 25, starting in verse number 28. Look at what happens, verse 28. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. Now God's really not being fair, isn't he? Why would God take the talent from the guy who had one and give it to the guy who had 10? Well, you guys know about investments, right? Let's say you had $8,000. You took that $8,000 and you took $5,000 of those dollars and you invested in real estate. Took $2,000 of those dollars and invested in the stock market and took $1,000 of those dollars and invested in bonds. And that $5,000 that you invested in real estate, when you came back later, you found it had gained five more. $10,000. That's awesome. But the $2,000 that you put in the stock market gained $2,000 more. Hey, cool. Wonderful. But then the $1,000 that you put in the bonds, long-term bonds, you came back after a long time and they didn't make any money. What would you do? You would take that money out of the bond and you would put it into real estate, wouldn't you? Because that was your best investment. That made you the most money. In the same way, God is no fool. He says, take it from the one who has one and give it to the one who has 10. Why? Because that guy is a good investment. And so God gives it to him. Is he being unjust or unfair? No, God is just accomplishing his purposes. This is about building his kingdom. It's his money and it's his goods that he delivered, and now he's making the best use of the investment. Verse 29, for to everyone who has, more will be given, and to him he will have an abundance, but from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Now, I have racked my brains over this verse for years. I have prayed about this verse. I have asked God for wisdom on this verse. This verse is a hard saying, and it's hard to understand. But if I could take the context of the parable of what we're talking about today and insert some words, not to add to or take away from the Word of God, I would not ever dare to do that. It's with fear and trembling that we approach expounding on the Word of God, because we know that there are curses for people who do that. But I just want to give you the context in order to understand what he's really talking about, because you say, he who has more will be given. Well, that sounds unfair, right? And he who does not have even what he has will be taken away. I thought he didn't have anything. How can he have something that's taken away if he didn't have anything, right? But here's what he's really saying. He's saying, for to everyone who has what? Has a faithful and good heart to build the kingdom of God. To everyone who has a faithful heart, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have what? Does not have the right view of God. Does not have a faithful heart to build the kingdom of God. Look at, even what he has will be taken away. Verse 30, and cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now that's a scary end of the parable, isn't it? Because we're talking about eternity. These other two guys went into their reward. Enter into the joy of your Lord. This guy is cast out in outer darkness. Now, some people believe that to be hell. Some people don't believe that to be hell. They believe that that's the believer's judgment and that that's the suffering loss. That's the outer darkness and weeping and gnashing of teeth. It doesn't matter which side of the spectrum you're on, okay? What matters is this guy suffered a total loss at the end of it all. Total loss. And that's not going to be you and that's not going to be me. Because I see in this parable that what you don't use, you will lose. And that shows me the principle that if I'm not a good steward, if I'm unfaithful, I cannot expect more. But on the other side of that statement, that if I am a good steward and if I'm faithful, that I can expect more from God, that I can expect God to build. See, the good news today, for some of you guys in here, you've been listening to this parable, and as we've gone on into this parable, you have realized that you've been sitting on your talent. You have buried it in the ground, that you have not done what God has called you to do to build the kingdom of God. Not just with finances, not just with wealth, but with your time, with your talents, with your energies, with the expressions of your life that have come out. God wants you to use your life, the goods that he's delivered to you, to build the kingdom of God. God wants to see increase. And if you're not a good steward, you cannot expect more. But if you are a good steward, and if you are faithful, then you can expect God to build your life and to build the kingdom with your life. You can expect more, more resource, more blessings, more abundance, more love, more joy, more peace, more gifts poured out on you, more meaningful experiences throughout your lifetime. You can expect more from God. And so God is saying something to us today. Maybe today you felt like guilt and condemnation has been poured all over you in the message today. Listen, the good news is that there's hope for your future, because today you can make a decision. That's not going to be the rest of my life. I'm going to change. I'm going to steward what God has given me. I'm going to start using the talents, the gifts, the weight that God has given me. It may not have looked like a lot, but God, this is what you've trusted me with, and I'm going to be faithful in the few things. And the reward of faithfulness is the same as me, you, and everybody around you. Why? Because it's a reward based on faithfulness, not based on amounts. Abilities are given based on, amounts are given based on abilities, right? So what you can carry, God has given to you. But if you're saying, I'd like to carry more, then start being faithful where you're at. Start being faithful right where God has placed you, in the middle of the resources, the abilities, the gifts that God has given you right now. Today, I'd like to pray with you guys. If you would just take a moment, bow your heads and close your eyes. Father, we thank you for your word today. God, we thank you that you've given to us the stewardship of our lives. Now, Lord, I ask that you would speak to hearts. Would you just pray this prayer on your own silently? God, what are you speaking to me personally? Just listen for the voice of the Lord right now. God, what are you saying to me? For some of you in this place, maybe God's dealing with you about your tithe. Maybe he says, it's time to trust me. Time to start. Some of you guys got off of it, and God says, time to get back on it. Put me first. Some of you, God's pushing you into greater responsibilities. Maybe it's an offering. Maybe it's a ministry. I don't want to put anything on you so that you don't feel coerced. But God might be nudging you about an area of your life of increase. Maybe he's pointing out a gift that he's given you that you've been sitting on, that you buried in the ground. What's God speaking to you? Would you just take a moment, if God spoke something in your heart, and write that down? I know if I don't write stuff down, I'll forget it. So would you just write that down right now? Maybe put it in the leaf of your Bible, put a note, got a pen and paper. Maybe you got a smartphone or a tablet. You just want to commit that to a note electronically. Write it down right now. If you're here with a faithful friend, maybe a spouse, parent, child, someone that you trust, and you want to just let them know what God spoke to you, you're welcome just to take a moment, whisper in their ear, maybe show them the note. Say, would you help me? Would you remind me of this? Would you hold me accountable? Maybe you want to put a goal on it today, tomorrow, next week, next year. You're going to build up to this over the next year. So write that down. Share that with that faithful friend that you're here with if God spoke to you. Father, we thank you for your word that you've given to us today, God. Thank you, Lord, that you are good. We honor you today. Lord, help us. Give us your grace to steward the things that you placed in our life properly, the way that you want us to, God. Said it brings increase into your kingdom. It brings you praise and glory at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, our desire is to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. And faithful over a few, I'll put you over many. Enter into the joy of your Lord. To that end, God, we labor, we strive, God. But Lord, it's all yours. So Father, we give it back to you in faith, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would just keep your heads bowed, your eyes closed for a moment, I just want to talk to you about your life.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.